This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Metallica Report. I'm Stefan Shirazi, editor of the band So What magazine.
And I'm Renee Richardson, director of philanthropy for Metallica's foundation, All Within My Hands. This is your official weekly Metallica podcast, the only inside source, bringing you all the news from the band's HQ and studios deep in the heart of Northern California. And massive thank you to everybody on Spotify who weighed in on this week's question, which was done poll style. And we asked you what you thought was the best Metallica award show performance. And there have been more than a few, but we presented seven different options for you guys. And the overwhelming winner was the 1989 performance of One, which happened at the 31st Annual Grammy Awards. 52% of you, this was your choice of favorite performance by the band. So that's kind of cool to know.
It is indeed. And your second favorite Metallica Awards show performance, according to our poll, was the 1996 medley of Last Caress and So What that the guys did at the MTV Europe Music Awards. By the way, this one made it into Billboard's top 100 greatest award show performances of all time.
Oh, that's great. We'll be looking back at both of your top picks conveniently enough in this episode. So thank you for weighing into our Spotify poll once again. We'll do it again next week.
I'm looking forward to it. Okay, well, look, next Sunday on February the 4th, it is the 66th Annual Grammy Awards, and they're taking place in Los Angeles at the Crypto.com Arena. And Metallica are nominated for three categories. That is Best Rock Performance for Lux Eterna, Best Metal Performance for 72 Seasons, and Best Rock Album, 72 Seasons.
Well-deserved, these nominations, and congratulations to our bosses. The other nominees in the Best Rock Performance category are Arctic Monkeys, Black Pumas, Boy Genius, and Foo Fighters. So the well of talent runs pretty deep here. And while the other Best Metal Performance nominees are Disturbed, Ghost, Spirit Box, and Slipknot.
And in the Best Rock Album, the other nominees are Foo Fighters, Greta Van Fleet, Paramore, and Queens of the Stone Age.
And the award for Best Rock Performance goes to Jethro Tull. So sad.
What the fuck?
Oh, sad.
Oh, boy. Hey, before we get into this any further, I just want to say you sound like you're in good form here. And you're in New Orleans right now. Am I correct?
I am in New Orleans. I'm about to head out to a little Mardi Gras parade. So let's get this thing moving, buddy.
Yeah, and you're within on All Within My Hands duties, which I just want to reemphasize for everyone. Renee does a fantastic job with All Within My Hands. It is 24/7 work, and she's fighting the good fight out there in New Orleans for All Within My Hands. So
thank you for that. Yeah, we're having a big convention of the community colleges we support, so thanks for that, Steph. That
awesome.
Was nice of you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's doing you proud, I can tell you. I can hear it. Look, given that it is the award show season, and given that you and I have been chatting about Metallica's overall award show history, wins, appearances, all of that stuff, let's just get into it and bring that chat to this week's pod, right?
Yeah, let's go for it. As mentioned, we're going to be focusing on a few of the key live award show performances since that very first Grammy won in 1989, pun fully intended, you guys. And we're also going to be getting a fan's eye view on Metallica and award shows from our friend Clint Wells. He runs the Metal Up Your Podcast show.
Yeah, it's going to be great to get his perspective. Yeah, Clint's a super fan, and he's also a session guitarist, songwriter, and leader of the band Morgan Wade. And check this out. Clint and his band are starting a US tour with Alanis Morissette and Joan Jett on June 9th in Phoenix. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so he knows he's got the skinny on both sides. You know what I mean? He's a deep dive fan. And he knows behind the curtain.
Yeah, and it makes his show really good. He's got that musician's timing, which I clearly don't have. And Clint also a supporter of All Within My Hands, which is much appreciated. So we're looking forward to talking to him. Now, we all know there are many, many award shows and so many awards, and we decided to keep it clean and stick to the tried and trusted in our conversation today, namely the Grammys, the American Music Awards, and the Video Music Awards, the MTV Music Awards, and the Billboard Music Awards. So let's get into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really only one place to start, isn't there? I mean, I know our Spotifyers have already brought us to this particular starting point, but let's just give it a little more love because it is such a huge moment in Metallica's history, let alone their award show history. We're going back to LA's Shrine Auditorium on February 22nd, 1989. It is Metallica's first ever live award show performance. Indeed, I believe it's the first ever live metal performance at the Grammys. It is one. And if you want to go and check that out on YouTube, right at the moment this clip starts, which is 3 minutes and 37 seconds, James looks up and just fucking glares at the camera with, I don't know what you call it. It's defiance, it's youthful rage, it's anti-establishment, it's we're serving it to the man vibes, it's all of it. It is young punks breaking out and kind of giving the bird to the establishment. That's how I took it anyway.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Steph, because in the very beginning of the performance, you can hear the nerves in James' voice. At least that's how I hear it. But at that moment you're talking about, it's all washed away and it's like, and everything gels, and it's a cool little moment in the video if you can find it. And in case you don't know what happened at that show, Metallica was up for Best Hard Rock Metal Performance for the Justice album. Their co-nominees were Jane's Addiction, Iggy Pop, AC/DC, and Jethro Tull. The band was, at that time they were kicking down all sorts of barriers for the hard rock and metal world worldwide, and their first Grammy was considered in the bag by everyone, like both watching and internally. I mean, we all thought it was going to go to them, right?
No, I mean, come on. It was so much so that Elektra had apparently printed 10,000 one sheets which said Justice was a Grammy winner, to which I remember Lars saying they should joke and put them out anyway with Grammy losers or something like that. But, look, it was such a fait accompli, right, in everyone's mind that Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson wasn't even there. And I believe I'm right in saying that Chrysalis Records didn't even attend because they was just, not a chance, right? So, of course, when it came to announce the winner, by the law of averages and all of that I've just said, Alice Cooper opens the envelope and announces that Jethro Tull's Crest of a Knave had won it, right? I mean, set up for the upset,
What? I mean, it was a major shock. Even Alice Cooper, who presented that award, as you mentioned, has gone on to say that he literally thought they gave him the wrong envelope. So no one saw this coming. In terms of international exposure, though, to wider audiences, it's undeniable how important that particular live appearance was for the band. And Steph, you're watching it, right?
Yeah. There are a bunch of us crammed together. This was when I lived in the Mission in San Francisco. And so there are a bunch of us who, we all hung out together. We hung with those guys quite a lot, and we're all crammed around the telly and, bristling with pride that our outsiders had smashed the system, only for the people who vote at the Grammys to decide they weren't quite ready for it. I mean, for them, I don't suppose it was that spectacular a surprise at all. They were just like, well, this isn't going to happen. I remember somewhere in there, memory being what it is, I can't quite picture whether there was a delay on the recording and we got this phone call or not, but I remember last calling us and being well, I'll politely call it incredulous. But yeah, back then they were fiery and fiercely on the move. So he was less than impressed, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we all felt so indignant about it. It was just like, fuck you, fuck the man. Like, fuck, yeah, we're being fucked, right, and fuck everyone. We're going to do it. It was a wee thing, you know. So I, in a way, it probably worked out perfectly because here we are still talking about it.
That's right.
Fans have voted it. They're number one. I mean, it might have actually worked better this way. Who knows?
Yeah. And one final word on this one. In 2014 in LA, the 56th Grammy Awards, Metallica played one with classical pianist Lang Lang, a virtuoso from China. And that was 25 years after that unforgettable 1989 performance. And it too was a pretty cool moment, but certainly something different.
Yeah. And just to cap off Metallica's Grammy history here, you know, the guys have been nominated 23 times and won 9 Grammys. So good luck on Sunday. And let's hope it's 3 for 3. I don't know about you. I think I'm feeling a little competitive about it right now.
Oh my God. Totally. I feel invested this time around.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much of that, you know, coming from the inside, being privy to the process. This is like all from my perspective personally. I'm watching all that has gone into 72 seasons and the lead up to this incredible album and the tour and all the things that have come along with it. Now bring it on.
Yeah. And just bear with us. We got to take a moment for a quick break.
And we are back. And Steph, I got to shift gears here and go to Europe. Well, London, England in 1996. The Alexandra Palace, the MTV European Music Awards. And, well, if you'll allow me.
So fucking what?
What an epic version of that classic song by the Anti-Nowhere League, those old school British punks. I think what makes it all the more remarkable is that they had no plans to do this whatsoever. The band had initially planned to do King Nothing. They'd rehearsed the song with Pyro earlier in the day, but then sometime just before the live broadcast was going to happen, they were told that they couldn't use Pyro. And by the way, would they mind not swearing because it was a live broadcast? Oh dear. They summoned Big Mick, their sound man at the time, and he was asked whether Last Caress and So What would fit the slot of King Nothing. He said that it would be all good. It was going to work. And so, as I understand it, they were the only 5 people who knew what was going to go down as soon as the broadcast was being recorded and going out live, which just makes it even more epic, I think. And if you're a fan, wow, you get 2 songs instead of 1, and 2 very defiant ones at that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, MTV's Europe's head honchos did not see it that way. They promptly banned the boys from ever appearing on their shows again. I should stress that the band was in Europe, but it was such a punk move being told what they can't do and then doing it. I personally loved it.
Indeed. In the US, Metallica have had 12 MTV VMA nominations with 4 wins. One of those wins, with no live performance involved, just a good old-fashioned win, was in 1992 when Enter Sandman won the Best Hard Rock Video Viewer's Choice Award with Howard Stern in Guys as Fartman presenting the award. Look, just check the clip out because it is a travel back through time. It's a total time capsule of 1992, I got to say.
And it didn't age well, in my opinion. All right, you guys, this feels like the perfect time to bring in Clint Wells from Metal Up Your Podcast and the band Morgan Wade. He's going to give us a few of his award show views, starting with why award show appearances, especially back in the day, were and still are important for the Metallica fans.
Growing up in the 90s, what was so exciting about seeing one of your favorite bands that tended to, you know, at a certain point, they were kind of more counterculture band, is you would get to see your band on TV. And so, you know, the only time I could see the guys was on the record sleeves, maybe a magazine. So to be able to see them on TV was so fun. But there was like a deeper side of it, too, where you sort of felt like the world was getting to see what you already know. Less so on the MTV stuff, but like the Grammys were big because it was almost like the world was getting to hear your favorite band. And that was always exciting. I always had a sense of pride when I knew the boys were going to be on a big stage like that.
Yeah, he's so right about the sense of pride. It's so true. In speaking with Clint, of course, we had to ask what the first award show he ever saw was, and entered Childish Humor.
I'll never forget it. It was the 92 VMAs, The Fart Man. So I would have been 9 years old. And I came online with the band during the Black Album. So I missed the Justice stuff. I, of course, went back. But for me, the 92 VMAs was like one of the most fun viewing experiences of my life.
As for Clint's personal favorite Metallica award show appearance?
My personal favorite, because of the era of Metallica that I love so much, is the 90s. I'm a big Load Reload guy. And my favorite member of the band at that time was Jason Newsted. And I love the 2000 movie award performance of I Disappear. I think a lot of my friends at the time were struggling with that direction where they were going. I always loved it. I love the song. It's one of my favorite Metallica songs. And that performance is almost one of the last times of them in that iteration with that power. And one of the things I love the most about it is you hear really clearly in the broadcast mix how well Jason's vocals mixed with James's. I mean, they just perfect complementary vocal. They had a lot of swagger, a lot of attitude. The video I loved. Like you, I'm a big movie nerd. So all the nods in the video to North by Northwest and Brazil, Terry Gilliam's Brazil. I just loved everything about it. And I loved seeing them at the Movie Awards playing one of my favorite songs.
Oh, right on, Clint. I love that one, too. Clint was generous with his time for us, and it's obvious his love for the band is at a whole other level. So thanks, Clint.
Yeah, and good luck with that upcoming tour, mate. It sounds like it's going to be a really special one. And you know, something was really cool, Renee, that Clint told me. He said that everything he does and everywhere he goes, there's always an influence of Metallica with him.
Nice.
That includes, you know, being on stage himself. So that's I'd love to get into that discussion with him one day because I think it's a great juxtapose. There he is playing these gigs, but my word, this guy's fanaticism runs deep.
So that was Saint Anger from the 2003 American Music Awards. Metallica have received 7 nominations and 2 wins, including winning Favorite Heavy Metal Hard Artist in 1997, when a bare-chested and leather-vested Pat Boone announced their win alongside Alice Cooper. By the way, Pat Boone released an album that year in a metal mood, No More Mr. Nice Guy, and his outfit. Oh, I remember this. It caused Lars to ask him where his nipple ring was, and the band also played King Nothing.
Yeah, these award shows can be pretty wacky for sure. I was at the 2003 one at the Shrine Auditorium in LA, and look, what I remember is the immense amount of trailers, the air of chaos, never actually being sure how far you go where with whatever pass you have to have on. It's like, you know, there's 1,000 passes, right? It's different here, different there. Yeah, you just thoroughly sort of in the way. I felt in the way everywhere I went.
Yeah.
I marveled at how the production could actually filter so many artists through and on stage on time. So, you know, hats off to production teams at awards shows. They are incredible. I did say hello to Rod Stewart. That was cool. Funny too, you know, Kirk told me something else last week about award shows. I think is well worth mentioning here. From an artist perspective, he said, it gives you a chance to see other artists that you may not really ever get the chance to see, you know,
yeah,
in the course of your year, because everyone obviously sound checks the day before. And so he said you have artists, you know, hanging out to kind of see what's going on. Apparently Prince watched the guys rehearse at one of the Grammys. And of course, when you're playing and you see Prince watching you, that's got to be kind of cool. And Kirk told me that he personally was blown away one time when he watched U2 rehearse. He said, you just see an intimacy in the way that the band works that you just never get to see.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to hear his enthusiasm for that part of it. Award show, just that part.
And didn't he also mention to you that the time that the guys were receiving an MTV award in 96 for Until It Sleeps as Best Hard Rock Video, when he felt a banana in his suit pocket? This sounds like a bad joke, but he felt a banana in his suit pocket, pulled it out, and just started eating it as the band received their award.
That is absolutely correct. I mean, but so delightfully Kirk in a way. I mean, just how great is that? You know, he just pulled out that banana. Again, that's something else you can find on YouTube. Well, you know, we're back at that thing which has been a theme of this episode, where you've got unpredictable moments that just seem to happen. They don't always involve bananas, boons, fart men, or you know, sweary song switch ups. You know, sometimes they're actually just about the raw dynamism of the music, that exciting off-kilter combination jam. I mean, the one that I think of immediately is the one that saw Metallica get together with Lady Gaga for Moth Into Flame at the 59th annual Grammys at the Staples Center in LA on February 12th, 2017. And that was the last time the band have performed at the Grammys.
Yeah, there were some mic issues during that broadcast, but because of that, James ended up sharing a mic with Gaga, and I think that was pretty cool. It was spontaneous. It gave off this really cool vibe, which a good happenstance.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's that old, you know, making lemonade from lemons, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, something Clint Wells told me that when we were chatting was, you know, as an artist, it's very possible that James probably couldn't hear his own vocal when he's sharing Gaga's mic, and maybe she was having to deal with something as well. He said, technically, from a technical standpoint, it's such an impressive thing to see that. And that was a really interesting take for me.
That's cool.
It was visually dynamic, you know, but then Clint told me that as a musician, you kind of have another dimension. You're like, wow, he's really running off his own scripts. And it did, you know, it did produce one of their most memorable performances. I mean, there have been many amazing award show performances from this band. We haven't had time to discuss some of them, not the least of which Metallica's 2009 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I think that's a pod in itself down the road.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because we're running out of time.
Yeah, bummer. Here's hoping Metallica win at this weekend's Grammys. Remember, it all takes place Sunday, February 4th.
Absolutely. We'll be watching with you, and we'll be hoping, right?
Yep.
Okay, until next week.
See ya.
The Metallica Report is produced by Metallica HQ, Pantheon Media, and Pop Cult.
If you like what we're doing here, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to visit Metallica.com/podcast to submit your questions, offer your thoughts, and become a part of this podcast.
Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.